someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
He has seen the raw and the ready, from having a gun pointed at his head to donating his bone marrow so another might live. He has played football in college and in the NFL and has coached teams. Confident young people can win on the field and in life. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is Howard University's head football coach, Mike London. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, thanks for having me.
So first, let's start with where it all began, in Virginia. Tell me a little bit about growing up in Virginia.
I'm a son of a 30-year-plus Air Force veteran. We've lived all over basically the world, you know, being in a military family, Libya, Africa. We've been in Germany, Hawaii, California, all over. And having had those experiences, it's really kind of, you know, lended to itself to how I am and how I treat people and my experiences, you know, now. And so my father's retired. The last military job he had was at Langley Air Force Base down there in Hampton, Virginia. But I was born at West Point Academy, you know, in Highland Falls, New York. So there's a level of discipline and also being very respectful of men and women in uniform and of our military.
Now, you attended University of Richmond, where you played college football, played as a defensive back.
I chose Richmond because obviously it was close to home, being from Hampton, but it was a school that had academic promise in terms of pursuing the degree that I wanted. I wanted to be a criminal justice major. I always wanted to be perhaps an FBI agent or Secret Service agent. And so I went that track and gained valuable opportunities with Ride Along, in the city of Richmond. And, you know, I had opportunity to help start the school's first black fraternity there. And so that experience, you know, at a University of Richmond and also bringing some culture and diversity, you know, to the area and embracing other students that look like me was something that has kind of carried over the years and over my coaching career. So it was a positive experience. You know, it continues to be that anytime you get a chance to become educated at places that talk about, you know, what you do for others is of vital importance to me.
No, you can't mention that you started a black fraternity and don't mention which one it is.
Phi Beta Sigma, for sure.
All right, okay. For sure. I just want to go on record so that I don't have folks looking for me. So you spent some time as a police officer, which, I certainly have an affinity to. My dad was a police officer. And so, you know, certainly when I see men and women in uniform, that certainly strikes a chord with me. Tell me what about that experience and what you took away from that experience.
When I learned being a police officer and later detective in the city of Richmond, that the power of the spoken word is a matter of life and death. I mean, what comes out of your mouth matters, and how you approach people and what you say and how you use. And I know you've used the phrase tone and civility. You know, in police work, that's critical because you can escalate or de-escalate a situation, you know, rather quickly. And having been a police officer, you learn, the dynamics of interpersonal relationships. You learn, you know, the cultural differences. You learn communicating factors that will help you, as I said, bring remedy to a situation that otherwise might not. So, you know, and having a personal near-death experience, I guess I would categorize it as having a gun pulled on me. And the trigger being pulled, but, the bullet not going off. And so you feel there's also a sense of gratefulness. There's a sense of and now, you know, now what? Now what do you do with your life and how do you move about trying to affect other young men's lives, other people's lives? And so it was a positive experience for me, even though, you know, the near-death experience, but it's led to so many other opportunities in bridging gaps and solidifying relationships and bringing getting out in the communities where, you know, where those experiences I've had, sharing it, you know, really makes a difference.
Now you also played some professional ball for the other team.
I know, I can't mention it, right?
You can't mention the team. So we have a Washington team, and then we have a team somewhere in Texas, I think. So that Texas team, you played defensive back for. Tell me what it was like being in the NFL.
You know, the culmination of a young child growing up wanting to play at the highest level. You go through high school, you go through college, and, you know, all the things that come along with being associated with an NFL team. There's only, you know, 32 of them, and it's the best of the best that's in the world. And so, you know, you have opportunities to go on and be around, you know, the head coach at that other team named Tom Landry, you know, is a legend in college and in football, pro football. And so being exposed to that, seeing at the highest level of what it needs, what you need in terms of ability, skill, sometimes even luck, but it was a tremendous experience that you never forget.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Michael London, head football coach here at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Now, after your stint in the NFL, working as a cop, you decided to get into coaching.
I remember the day that one of the coaches knocked on the door and said Coach Landry wanted to see me. In NFL terms, that meant that you're going to get cut, and so the reality of someone saying, "Listen, we're going to move in another direction," that's adversity. But you have to learn how to deal with that. And what I tell the players is that I was a football player because that's what I did. It's not who I was. It's not who I am. Our young people try to. Their identity is tied up into how many touchdown passes they can throw or catch, how many balls that they can shoot in the basket, how many goals can they kick. You know, they get tied up into that being their self-worth when they're going to be husbands, fathers, wives, CEOs of companies, doctors, lawyers, surgeons. Much longer, they're going to be an athlete. And so making the pivot from, you know, what you believe you are and which all that you can do to what your possibilities are and surrounding yourself with people and situations that can help you obtain, you know, that the life degrees that you're going to learn, it's critical. And then the transition part of it is, you know, I'm a big believer in surrounding yourself with people that can help, you know, we always talk about, giving me a hand up, you know, or a hand out. I want a hand up. I want to be able to put my hand and grab somebody else and bring them along and not give them something because of where they are. So I had to learn I was a young parent in college. And so when I got cut, I had a family. And so you have to grow up pretty quick and just understand that it's not about you now. It's about the people that you're responsible for. So that transition and the identity thing were probably the two biggest things that you have to realize, adapt, and overcome.
You know, and talking about your family in particular, as much as you have to adapt and prioritize them, we also are never prepared for life's inevitabilities, which sometimes are extremely adverse. And you face that situation of life and death in which you had to interact with your child, not just as a parent, but also as in an opportunity to save their life. And what was that like?
I tell you, Dr. Frederick, it's one of those things that, you know, people never really get involved with things unless they're really something happens to them. Sometimes we go about our lives and enjoying things that happen, and if it doesn't affect you, then we just go about our merry way. But, you know, when I was an assistant coach at Boston College, and my daughter Tyson got sick, a cough, a cold, didn't know what it was, and we were up in Boston, and you know they have a children's hospital in Boston, which is really really good, pretty good, and they diagnosed her with a Fanconi anemia, which is your body's inability to reproduce the blood cells to fight off infections, and the only cure would be a bone marrow transplant. So as a young parent, you know, I'm like, okay, let's just get one of those. What we got to do? And it's like, it's not that easy. you know, the odds that African Americans are less than, you know, 16-17% of finding a match, as opposed to, you know, Caucasian families that are looking for matches, which is up in the 80s. And so, you know, you go through a period of being very frantic about, well, what are we going to do? Because absent of a bone marrow transplant, she was going to die. And parents don't want to hear that. You know, I'm an eternal optimist. I'm always a glass half filled kind of guy. But, you know, there also resonates with you that something has to be done, and in a big way. So I was leaving Boston College. I was coming to Virginia as an assistant coach. And one of the reasons why I chose Virginia, not only being from Hampton, Virginia, but that John Hopkins Hospital was world-renowned in terms of its transplants, its bone marrow transplants. And so we joined the National Bone Marrow Registry. We couldn't find a match or a donor for a while. And then finally, you know, the doctors were like, you know what, let's try you, Mr. London. But the odds that a parent would be a match for their own child, I mean, I heard 10,000 to 1, 1,000,000 to 1. I'd heard miracle. And I'll never forget that one day, you know, doctor said, you're the match. You know, and so when you're a young parent and you hear you're the match, you're stunned, because it's like, huh? And then you're like, okay, let's go, let's get this done. So they took blood out of my arm, went into a machine, they separated the white blood cells, red blood cells, plasma, and they took the bone marrow, and then put the rest of the blood back in my arm. And then we took a clear bag of bone marrow, put it in her drip cord, and just watch it just fall into her body. And just, you know, you're always worried about the body rejecting it, but hers accepted it, and it was just, it was awesome. I mean, it was, you know, so you can call it miracle. You can call it whatever you want to call it. She's living. Coming from a military family and believing that, you know, our motto this year is Mission Possible. You know, all things are possible. So that was another tremendous life-changing experience that I share and I talk about all the time. And I'll get emotional about it because it's real life. You know what I mean? And there's no shame in that. But very, very proud of being able to share those opportunities. And I know you're a practicing surgeon and you know a lot about what I'm talking about. And there's people out there that know what I'm talking about. But if a doctor's saying, or people are saying, you know, 10,000 to one or whatever, it took one. And so instead of not getting involved, it's always going to be 10,000 to nothing. That's or, you know, so you got to get involved to make sure that at least there's odds that could be, you know, advantageous for you.
So, certainly a blessing indeed. And so you went on to University of Richmond, where you won a national football championship, and then you were the head coach at the University of Virginia, where you were named ACC Coach of the Year with some coaching luminaries in that division. Having done that and seen it at the highest level, having won, obviously having two life-shaping experiences, certainly when I interviewed you, those were major factors in my decision to hire you as the head football coach here. Having said that, we both agree that you've got to win on the field. How do you feel about the team that you have, what you're building, and what you expect these young men to do in life in general?
Sure. You know, first of all, it's a great opportunity, and I appreciate the time that we had the chance to talk about goals, visions. You know, the opportunities here, I believe Howard is kind of, it's a place that is a gold mine in terms of the best and brightest are here. You know, to me, school is cool. I mean, everybody, oh, what about school? And every place I've been, it's been a school of academic reputation and notoriety. But this Howard is as good as any place, you know, and the type of degree, the type of profile student athlete that you can recruit and go after. When you talk about becoming an educated man and graduating in 3.5 years and gaining a master's, it resonates with, you know, the student athletes that we're recruiting. You know, opportunities. You know, you've made a significant gesture in terms of bringing a program in that can bring honor and integrity to this university, add to it. You know, there's nothing outside of what we do that this university has in terms of its reputation. It's an outstanding reputation. We want to raise the level of what's done on the athletic field to a level of recognition that, you know what, you can go there and you can get a great education and you can compete for championships.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Michael London, head football coach here at Howard University. And although he was once cut by Tom Landry, I think we would agree that Tom Landry had the opportunity to interact with one of the finest men in college football today. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.